Recorded live.
Greetings, sound sheep of the House of Israel. This is Pastor Mark Linstead, and this is the yet again new Logan Hunter Show in Exile. We have Logan Hunter from North Middle Tennessee on the phone, and it's today, it is the 6th of May, the day after the Stinkhole DeMaio, a.k.a. when the Beaners put rancid mayonnaise aboard a taco shell here and then gobble it down. So, in any case, here, we're going to go ahead and cover a few things. Anyway, I'm running a little bit late. It's about to rain. It's about to go ahead and rain down here. My little puppy dog is all scared. I had the lawnmower working for a couple days, and then now it don't want to work no more again. I'm a little bit out of sorts here. I need to answer this lying Jew who essentially is wanting to punish me for selling the city of Granby for being a bunch of traitors and criminals deserving skinning out.
There's some Jew in Granby you're trying to sue?
No. It's a Jew from Kansas City named Brian T. Goldstein. What do you want to bet to clear as a Jew lawyer? And what I find is hilarious is that the character is just simply lying about the facts and the rest here. He's essentially just being a dirty Jew. I mean, that's the way things are. And, you know, pretty well, I believe that if you catch a lawyer lying, go ahead and skin him out. No big deal. I mean, heck, just go ahead and put his pelt. Just go ahead and put his pelt at the courthouse door. You know, same way with the crooked judges and, the rest of them here. There's a bunch of stuff here. I mean, this past week, pretty well a jury in Charlottesville, Virginia, went ahead and convicted a white man for defending an older white man against a nigger attack. And then a Puerto Rican, for being a good Samaritan and also helping defend from a nigger on this Puerto Rican attack. So, hey, you have essentially a corrupt jury. Now, it is a pity you can't just simply localize a bad case of prion poisoning or whatever to just simply wipe out, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, pretty well an evil town, an evil city. In Isaiah chapter 3, it says that the cities of the wicked people will not cover the face of the earth. It's because they're evil. And they can't get anything done because they're just so busy screwing one another here. You know, that's
Martin. You're saying that this nigger started the fight, and the two white people, one of them, is he going to jail for how long?
10 years.
Ten years
for essentially defending someone against nigger attack. You know what I mean?
The Puerto Rican went to jail too.
Oh, he got sentenced to 6 years in prison by the jury.
I mean, who was this nigger?
There's a nigger named DeAndre Harris. I'll go ahead and put his
link to it. Well, look, man, I saw one black guy over there. He had a flamethrower, and he was shooting fire at all the white people. How come he didn't get arrested?
Well, hell, they didn't want to arrest him. They didn't want to arrest him.
So the Puerto Rican and the white man are not protected species, but the black man can do whatever he wants, and he's protected.
Well, yeah, niggers get to run wild. That's pretty well exactly what is going on here in the Zogbot land here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll go ahead and put in this old thing on the new chat room here. Let me see. I went ahead and talked about it with Fat Kike and a few others on my show on Thursday. But then this is just new. Let me see here. Okay, I'll just go ahead and put in, the link address to, okay. Jacob Goodwin is facing a 10-year sentence. Let me go ahead and put that thing in. And let me go ahead and Oh, put a few other things here. Did you get that? You got that stupid thing from old Rustford here to where he's all put out because he was a retard.
Yeah.
Rustford the retard was a total tard. What the total retard did was he, essentially he did a DNA test and then it come back that he was a nigger, right? Ain't that my size?
Yeah, that's right.
And so now, as a nigger, he's all butthurt because someone went ahead and spilled the beans, about a month or so ago.
Here's the deal, Martin. Russ,
okay, you try to be Russ's friend, and he does shit to everybody. He won't take people off his retard list. You'll tell him something in secret, and then he'll go tell the whole world. He constantly does stupid shit. And then he told Athena he was a Sicilian. Then that got out. He told two or three other people that had DNA tests. And, like Rebecca from East Tennessee, she was part Negro. And Russ said, oh, well, that's no big deal. Because Russ is telling everybody he's 10%. According to the DNA test, he's 10% Negro. But
10% Negro, yeah.
Yeah. So the thing Russ pisses so many people off that eventually they go ahead and turn on him. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he was blaming you and me for him being a retard and being caught out as a nigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You remember that email?
Well, look. Russ never should have told Athena that he was his mom was full-blooded Sicilian. I mean, everybody knows. Everybody in identity knows that Southern Italy, the only white people in Italy was Northern Italy, and everybody knows that all your mafia was all Sicilians, and everybody knows that,
Sicilian Jews.
If they're not part Jew in Southern Italy, they're part Negro. They're mulatto or whatever. So Guido, the dark skin. So the thing is, Russ tells her that, then he tells me, he's bragging to me all the time about cheating on his wife with his ex-girlfriend of his, but he tells me not to tell his wife. Well, I don't do that. But now, if the shoe was on the other foot, and I told Russ not to tell something, he would go do it immediately. So, the thing is, it's Russ's own fault. He tells all these people stuff, then he pisses them off. He gets on their nerves. He becomes enemies with them. And the smartest thing for him to have done would not to have opened his mouth about all these secrets about him. He should have never, if he's going to take a DNA test, should have never told anybody he took one. He shouldn't have told anybody he was a Sicilian. And, he shouldn't have, I didn't call his wife. I've talked to his wife several times on the phone when he wasn't home. And she's not identity. She's not really that racial. And she eats pork and everything, but she's somewhat conservative, I guess. And so anyway, I had opportunity. I could have told her all about Russ. I could have been an asshole, but I didn't do that. But what does Russ do? The first time he meets me in person in Nashville, a Mexican restaurant, he wants to call my dad up on the phone. I thought he was going to be nice to my dad. He insults my dad, makes fun of him on the phone. Now, I mean, do I call Russ's daughter up and make fun of her because she's a lesbo? Do I call, email Ron Walker in Spain and call him a faggot, and a homosexual and a butt pirate or something? I don't do that shit, okay? I mean, so the thing about Russ is he brought all this upon himself.
Oh, yeah, he loves doing stupid shit. I mean, that's just his problem here. He just loves doing stupid shit. You know what I mean? And that's what he does. Stupid shit.
Yeah. So he's still
so
going to get... basically, him and William Fink both joined League of the South. I think they fit in pretty good there.
Yeah, well...
I mean, they got a bunch of mulatto grandchildren running around the League of the South meetings. So, I mean, they're not going to save the white race, but by having a bunch of grandchildren, and coal burners, Or ex-coal burners in the congregation. I mean, they're not going to save the white race for that. So.
Well, Russell ain't going to save the white race. Hell, that card can't even save himself here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
he goes ahead and he pisses people off, you know, especially Mamzers and niggers, for no damn good reason. And then he relies on the police not to, you know, to save him from getting his ass beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, that's what he does. He just does stupid shit like that.
Well, a lot of people have talked about beating his ass. I mean, he told me when he went down the League of the South, he was scared shitless because they had some big guys down there and they were all had guns. I mean, they had AR-15s and pistols on their side, and I mean, they had I guess machine guns or semi-automatic at the door. He said. And, wearing body
Why
armor.
Why is Rusty scared about that? You know what I mean?
Well, he was afraid he'd say the wrong thing and they'd beat his ass, you know. He told me he was scared shitless.
Scared shitless of being a retard and getting his ass whooped, huh?
Yeah, so he said he felt like a snowflake down there, so he was just going to... He was going to pass out some cards for his website and all that shit. I think he's got one or two friends, supposedly... A guy that lives down the street from him in North Carolina is a member of the League of the South, and that's who he was supposed to ride with to Charlottesville, Virginia. He should have been there when they had all that riding, and the guy that he was going to ride with backed out. He couldn't go. That was
the
story.
Well, if that old Russ didn't go, he's just another character, you know, another baby.
He might have got
to.
Hey. If Russ had gone, he might have got 10 years in jail like that other wigger.
I doubt it. I don't think Russ would have helped anybody.
No.
Do you?
I think Russ would have helped himself and ran. I mean, I don't even think. Yeah.
Like a pussy?
Yeah. I think that's
well,
probably.
He's not like my little poopy dog. He's usually fairly brave, but right now it is fixing the wreck. In fact, it is wrecked. And the thunder was out. And the little bastard was just panting here in fear. You know what I mean? He was just scared. You know what I mean? The little bastard just, I mean, he, you know, he is not ashamed of essentially admitting that, you know, mostly he's a poopy, but sometimes he's a pussy. You know what I mean? So he wasn't ashamed of admitting to being a pussy. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
he is what he is, and I don't... You don't go ahead. I mean, he's fairly brave for a little bitty 18-pound hound, you know what I mean? He's as brave as he can be for being what he is. He's just a little
Is he a rat terrier?
Yeah, he mainly looks like a rat terrier.
Yeah.
Got a little bit chihuahua. He's just a little sodomistic mongrel dog here, you know what I mean? You know, the other day, a little bastard was dry humping my pillow, and I slapped the little bastard and stop doing that shit, you little black bastard. You know, he was wanting to feel frisky here. Anyways, wait until I left, and then he resumed humping me, you know, dry humping the pillow. You know what I mean? He had his breath cut a long time ago when he was a little poopy dog here by Roxy. You know what I mean? So, anyway, I'm outside, and then you got... Oh, it's sort of like what happened, when was it, 7 years ago?
Is it raining where you're at? It's raining?
Yeah, it's starting to rain here. I went outside to make sure I had my windows rolled up. You know what I mean?
It's barely sprinkling here. It rained cats and dogs Saturday and Friday night, yeah.
Well, it's fixing to rain again. I did get a bunch of stuff mowed, but that lawnmower. I like it because it has a real nice deck, but I don't really like its Tecumseh motor because, hey, it's just simply a lot more complex, and thus a lot of shit more goes wrong with it than a damned Briggs & Stratton does here. You know what I mean? I just like a nice, simple cheap.
Is it a Kohler? What kind of engine is it?
It's a Tecumseh.
Oh, yeah, those are good, yeah. I don't even know if they make Tecumseh. I had a wood chipper with 8 horsepower Tecumseh. I don't know if they make them anymore.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, what happens is that the damn thing just simply, on that one, it has a real nice deck. It has, you know, 12-inch wheels on the back. That's the reason I like it here. You can go ahead and swing it around and, you know, essentially keep it up here. And I did get a good deal with mowed, but I went ahead and bought me some... non-ethyl, ethanol gas and shit. Instead of working better, the dang thing doesn't even want to work at all. I don't know what the deal is, but it's hard to start. And
well, probably that clean gas, probably what happened is you was in the ethanol gas and it was got dirty. And when you got the clean gas in there, it got all the, it was a solvent. It got all the dirt from the fuel line and probably clogged it up. I mean, those small engines are real easy to plug up the fuel line. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm not an expert at rebuilding carburetors, and they're so cheap now. Most of them just replace the carburetors instead of rebuilding it. But and another thing is, over the winter, I try to drain all my gasoline engines, all the fuel out of them when I winterize them, because if you let gas sit in the tank, you know, for several months.
It's bad. It's bad. It'll form a varnish. It'll fuck things up. What you usually do is just simply, you know, on your last time to use it, you simply just leave the thing run on until it's empty. You know what I mean?
That's the best. That's
that's
the best thing to
do. Well, that's, you know, that's the best thing to do here. So anyway, I'm a little bit hungry again here. Not quite sure what I'm going to go ahead and fix here. Last couple of times, I've just simply let the thing go ahead and do what it's going to do. Might have to go ahead and cook me some supper or something like that here. So anyway,
when you get ready to cook, I'm gonna continue in the book of Enoch, because I think we left off in the second parable. I believe we left off in the second parable. I don't think we finished it, and if I'm not mistaken, we're in the fourth chapter of the second parable. I'm not real good. XL, is that 30? Oh, I'm not real good with Roman numerals.
Hold on. XL, that's 40. XL is 40.
All right, we're on 40.
Before the L is 50, the X before L is 10 less than 50. Let me go ahead.
All right, so we're actually 48, chapter 48, XL.
That might be right, kid. Could you go ahead and put the link in the chat room?
Yeah, I'll do it again. I just did it earlier. Yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
Okay. We'll go ahead and
put the link. Hold on a second. We're going to put the link, Martin. And then, basically nothing's going on in the bowel movement, really. It's just,
it's just falling apart because old Dickie, you know, here he is begging for $25,000. When the bastard's worth millions, you know, he's a trust fund Jew boy, and pretty well everybody's disgusted about that shit. You know what I mean? I mean, well, if you had something to do with the bowel movement, I mean, you're going to get dicked is what you're going to get. You're going to get dicked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you think, are the pedo packies leaving you alone for a while? Is Vister?
Now, Brian Real, he's just simply not, you know, he's not shown up any for a longest time here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's no
lawsuit anymore. The lawsuit still is existing because essentially the guilty bastard did, and I went ahead and countersued him. So we're going to the second parable, and that'll be XLV, which will be 45 then, right?
Well, now we've done the first three chapters of the second parable, so really it should be chapter 4. Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and redo?
I'll do them over again if you want, but we've already done them.
Sure. Go ahead and do them over again, okay?
All right, fine. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, folks, we're on chapter 45, second parable of the book of Enoch. It deals with the lot of the apostates, the new heaven, new earth. Even though we've already done it, we'll hit it again. And this is the second parable concerning those who deny the name of the dwelling of the Holy Ones and the Lord of Spirits. Well, that would be Yahweh, the Lord of Spirits. And into the heaven they shall not ascend, and on the earth they shall not come. So if you deny Yahweh, you're not going to heaven. This would be applied to the Wiggers. It wouldn't be applied to the Serpents. See, they're not going anyway. So, and on the they shall not ascend, and on the earth they shall not come. Such shall be the lot of the sinners. What the law is done away with. And why is he talking about the sinners aren't going to go to heaven? I mean, the law is done away with, like the Christians say, that Jesus paid it all. Then, so obviously, if you don't repent, you're not going to make it. you're a sinner if you don't repent. Such shall be the lot of the sinners who have denied the name of the Lord of spirits, who are thus preserved for the day of suffering and tribulation. Not only have they denied the name of Yahweh, but they've denied his laws, they've denied his words, his truth, they've denied everything. All that, you know. Verse 3, on that day mine elect one shall sit on the throne of glory and shall try their works. And their places of rest shall be innumerable. And their souls shall grow strong within them when they see mine elect ones and those who have called upon my glorious name. Like, this would be Yahweh talking. He's saying, my elect. It's his elect, and they've called on his name. Then will I cause mine elect to dwell among them. Well, Yahweh said that we will, his elect will inherit the new heaven and new earth. And I will transform the heaven. Well, that's what destroying the old heaven and making a new heaven. I will transform the heaven and make it an eternal blessing and light. He can't do that as long as Satan and his kids are alive. He can't do that, and they're in power. He can't do that as long as the fallen angels, the rest of the fallen angels over Satan. I mean, this is an evil universe. Until Satan's destroyed, there is not going to be eternal blessing and light. And verse 5, and I will transform the earth and make it a blessing. Well, obviously, he's going to have to destroy the old heaven and old earth, because the heaven we're in, the heaven that exists now, is not eternal blessing and light, and the earth that we're living on right now is not a blessing. It is cursed. Okay, and I will cause mine elect ones to dwell upon it, but the sinners and evildoers shall not set foot thereon. Well, if these sinners and evildoers are not going to set foot in heaven or on, in the new heaven, new earth, then where are they going to be? They go in the abyss? They're going to the lake of fire? I mean, you know, come on. For I have provided and satisfied with peace my righteous ones and have caused them to dwell before me. But for these sinners, there is judgment impending with me, so that I shall destroy them from the face of the earth. So they're going to be destroyed, you know. Their soul may go in the lake of fire, but it's going to be destroyed first. I mean, Yahweh's going to totally destroy the wicked. Now, that was chapter 45. Martin, do you have a comment? Because I can go to chapter 46 if you don't have any comments. Okay. Martin is busy. We're going to go to chapter 46. This talks about the head of days and the Son of Man. And there I saw one who had a head of days, and his head was white like wool, and with him was another being whose countenance had the appearance of a man, and his face was full of righteousness like one of the holy angels. Well, that kind of sounds like the Father, Yahweh, and the Son, Yeshua. And I asked the angel who went with me and showed me all the hidden things concerning that Son of Man. Well, that would be Yeshua, who he was and whence he was. And so when Enoch, Yeshua had not yet been born on earth from a virgin. He existed, he pre-existed in the heavens, and the Son of Man that Enoch's talking about, when he transfigured into the heavens, he saw Yeshua. He saw Yeshua before he came down to earth. Okay, who he was and whence he was and why he went with the head of days, and he answered and said unto me, this is the Son of Man who hath righteousness. Well, that would be the Word made flesh, with whom dwelleth righteousness, and who revealed all the treasures of that which is hidden. Now remember, the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was made flesh, which is Yeshua. And remember, nothing was made. Everything was made through the Word. Nothing was made without the Word. And it's right here saying that Yeshua reveals all the treasures that are hidden, because everything was made through him, because he's the Word. Because the Lord of spirits hath chose him, and whose lot hath the preeminence before the Lord of spirits in uprightness forever. And the Son of Man whom thou hast seen shall raise up the kings and the mighty from their seats, and the strong from their thrones. Well, Yahweh is the king of all kings, and all these wicked rulers that we have, he's going to take them out of power. That's what it's talking about. And shall loosen the reins of the strong and break the teeth of the sinners. I don't know if you remember not too long ago, it's been about 20 years ago, one of the popes, he chipped a tooth. And I thought of that, I'm thinking of this verse right now. Yahshua is going to break the teeth of the sinners. Well, the Pope, we know the Catholic Church is phony. Most of them have been, the last few popes have been serpent seed. Most of them are pedophiles. I just think that's pretty neat. Verse 5, and he shall put down the kings from their thrones and kingdoms, because they do not extol and praise him. Not humbly acknowledge whence the kingdom was bestowed upon them, and he shall put down the countenance of the strong, and he shall fill them with shame. So Yahweh, remember, we are not to elevate our own self. We're supposed to be humble, and Yahweh's supposed to increase, we're supposed to decrease, and we're supposed to elevate him and not make a name for ourselves. And that's what he's talking about. All these people that have sought power and their own glory, Yahweh's going to, he's going to take all these proud people, he's going to take them from their high seats, and he's going to throw them down. And darkness shall be their dwelling, and worms shall be their bed. So they're going to die. And they shall have no hope of rising from their bed. They're not going to get eternal life, because they do not extol the name of the Lord's spirits. They're not doing the job of Yahweh. Not only do they not extol the name of Yahweh, but they don't even, they're not following his laws. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Rich man had all kind of money, and Lazarus used to work for him, and then he got injured, so he got fired, and then he was homeless. He wasn't doing the job of Yahweh. Lazarus, the rich man wasn't. Well, it's the same principle. And these are they who judge the stars of heaven and raise their hands against the Most High. Now remember, Satan is the accuser. He accuses everybody, usually of what he's doing. And he judges everybody falsely. Well, he's saying these people we have in power today, they're judging all the poor middle class and the poor white people. These people in power today, they judge us falsely. They accuse us falsely. They arrest us, have us imprisoned, and they raise their hands against the Most High. Remember the Beatles? The Serpent Seed group, the Beatles, they said that they were more famous than Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Almost all your rock and roll, almost all of Hollywood is all Jewish. They're all devils. And most of them are Illuminati. Most of them are high-level Freemasons. And they tread upon the earth and dwell upon it. And all their deeds manifest unrighteousness, and their power rests upon their riches. They do not put their faith in Yahweh, but in riches. And their faith is in the gods which they have made with their hands. See, they think that what they're doing is great. They don't appreciate what Yahweh made. This old earth and everything man has made is going to be destroyed. Let's look at the universe. Let's look at what Yahweh made. Nobody can match his creation. Nobody can outdo him. And they deny the name of Lord Spirits Yahweh. And they persecute the house of his congregations. They persecute the true identity people, like the people that, the pedo packies that take down the true identity people. And the faithful who hang upon the name of Yahweh, the Lord of Spirits. Okay, Martin, we did another chapter. If you don't have comments, I'm going to go to chapter, we did 40.
Let me. Okay. 40.
47. Right. We're on chapter. We're almost.
Let me see what you got. Let me see what
we did. 45 and 46. We've done two. And this is good stuff. This is really, this applies, Martin. This is talking about the people in power. And how they think they're smarter than Yahweh and they're dumber than dirt.
Okay. A lot of the apostates, the new heaven and new earth. He says, the second parable concerns those who deny the name of the dwelling of the holy ones of the Lord of spirits. Well, they deny the name of the dwelling. Well, that means that they're not going to get to live in the dwelling until the heaven they shall not ascend. And on the earth they won't come. They're going to go ahead. And this is, it seems like, you know, just like portions of it was before the flood, you know, from Genesis 3 on to Genesis chapter 6 here.
Yeah.
This portion is, you know, is very much after Revelation chapter 20 and into Revelation chapter 21 and 22.
Okay.
So, he says, "Oh, transform the heaven, make it eternal blessing and light." So, here you have Enoch. He is predicting, you know, essentially what happens after the history. You know, there's judgment pending me. I shall destroy them from the face of the earth. Next chapter. Said one who had the head of days. His head was like wool. In many cases, this is very, very, very much like the description of Christ in the book of Revelations. He said, you know, showed me all the hidden things concerning that Son of Man. Well, who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus Christ. Who did he call him? He's called him the Son of, you know, Man, or the Son of True Man, who he was, what he was, and why he went with the head of days. He answered the Son of Man, who is righteous, and whom dwells righteousness. He reveals all the treasures of that which is hidden. Because the Lord of spirits has chosen him, whose lot, you know, the preeminence for the Lord of spirits and not brightness forever. So, it goes on. We shall put down kings from their thrones and kingdoms, because they do not extol and praise them, nor humbly acknowledge where, you know, whence the kingdom was bestowed upon them. You shall put down the countenance of the strong, you shall fill them shame, darkness shall be the dwelling, the worm shall be their bed. They have no hope arising from their bed. So he goes on. He said their deeds manifest. You know, here are these who judge the stars of heaven, you know, and raise their hands against the Most High, and tread upon the earth and dwell upon it. And their deeds manifest unrighteousness, their power rests upon their riches. Their faith is in the gods which they have made with their hands. So essentially they're idolaters, they're self-idolaters, they're solipsists. They have, you know, pretty much, been born on third base and got to walk on home for free, and they think that they have hit a home run, and they haven't, you know what I mean? They persecute thousands of congregation, the faithful which hang upon the name of the Lord of Spirits. So here he is talking about the evil doers and what their fate shall be, and shall not be nice. So yeah, go on to chapter
47.
What? 47, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here we go, folks. And in those days, this talks about the prayer of the righteous for vengeance and their joy. Remember all in Revelations, all the souls that are beheaded, Yahweh's going to redeem, he's going to avenge them. So here we go. And in those days shall have ascended the prayer of the righteous, and the blood of the righteous. Remember Abel, his blood cried out, the blood of the righteous from the earth before the Lord of spirits, Yahweh. And in those days the holy ones who dwell above in the heavens, this will be the holy angels, the sons of Yahweh, the elect, shall unite with one voice and supplicate and pray and praise and give thanks and bless the name of Yahweh, the Lord of spirits, on behalf of the blood of the righteous which has been shed. And that the prayer of the righteous may not be in vain before the Lord of spirits, Yahweh, the judgment may be done unto them, and that they may not have to suffer forever. So the righteous that are still on earth, the ones that have been martyred and the ones that are still on earth being persecuted, that they shouldn't have to suffer forever. In those days I saw the head of days when he seated himself upon the throne of his glory. This would be Yahweh. And the books of the living were opened before him. And all his host, which is in heaven above, and his counselors stood before him. And the hearts of the holy were filled with joy, because the number of the righteous had been offered, and the prayer of the righteous had been heard, and the blood of the righteous been required before the Lord of spirits. Okay, Martin, do you have any comments?
Yeah, let me go ahead and look at it. Okay, I was listening to it.
All right.
But in all those days shall ascend the prayer of the righteous, blood of the righteous from the earth, for the Lord of Spirit, all those who have been martyred, for the ones who dwell above in the heavens shall unite with one voice and supplicate in prayer and praise, give thanks and bless the name of the Lord of Spirits on behalf of the blood of the righteousness which has been shed, and that the prayer of the righteous may not be in vain before the Lord of Spirits. So it goes on, because the number of righteous has been offered, the prayer of the righteous has been heard, the prayer of the righteous been required before the Lord of Spirits. So this is main cases. It sounds just like it is, you know, just before the return of Jesus Christ, where you have the saints. So how long will you not put an end to this here?
Yeah.
And it looks like here they are, they're about to get their reward, and you're about to have the end of days. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Out of righteousness, Son of Man, the story of the righteous judgment of the kings and the mighty. So here we go to the second. In many cases, we go to the second resurrection at the tail end of Revelation chapter 20. So go ahead and continue.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's Elijah. He's not really. Covering the stuff that occurs from when he was, you know, on the earth. He's covering the time from what, 6,000 or 7,000 years in the future, when there will be.
Yeah, just like John on Patmos and Revelations. I mean, the Book of Enoch, he's writing about the future mainly.
Yeah, Enoch covers very much the very beginning of things here. Upon Adam and Eve being, you know, cast out from the garden. In fact, you've seen in previous times when he is wandering the earth and he's wandering the heavens, to where you've seen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've seen the other trees. You've seen the tree of life. So very much he was covering Genesis chapter 3 in many cases. You know, what happened, you know, before the Garden of Eden. So here these trees have been transplanted to the heavens, and they are waiting the end of days here. So go ahead and continue then, okay?
All right, here we go. This talks about the fount of righteousness, the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness, judgment of the kings and the mighty. Yahweh's going to judge the earth here. That's what it's talking about. Chapter 48, verse 1. And in that place I saw the fountain of righteousness, which was inexhaustible. Well, Yahweh is infinite. I mean, his fountain is never going to, you know, stop flowing. And around it were many fountains of wisdom. Now, Satan offered the tree of knowledge of good and evil to get you in trouble, but true wisdom comes from Yahweh. Just like King Solomon wanted. He wanted knowledge on how to rule the earth and make a lot of money, but he didn't have wisdom. There's a big difference. A lot of people get college degrees and get a PhD, and they have no common sense. They have no wisdom. They have no understanding. There's a big difference. And all the thirsty drank of them and were filled with wisdom, and their dwellings were with the righteous and holy and elect. And at that hour, the Son of Man was named in the presence of the Lord of Spirits, Yahweh, and his name before the head of days. Yea, before the sun and the signs were created. Yahweh existed before the universe created, before the sun was created, before the stars and all the other planets were created. Before the stars of the heaven were made, Yahweh existed. His name was named before the Lord of Spirits. He shall be a staff to the righteous whereon to stay themselves and not fall. Remember that. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If Yahweh is going to be a staff to the righteous so that if they follow him, they will not fall. Think about that. Yahweh
was a perfect example. Yahshua was a perfect example for us. So if we lean on him and trust in all his ways and we keep all of his commandments and do as he did,
then we're not going to fall. And he shall be the light of the Gentiles and the hope of those who are troubled of heart. Verse 5, and of who dwell on the earth shall fall down and worship before him
and will praise and bless and celebrate with song the Lord of spirits of Yahweh. And for this reason hath he been chosen and hidden before him, before the creation of the world and forevermore. The Alpha, that would be the Alpha and Omega. He was the beginning, and he's going to be at the end.
He's infinite. He's forever. And the wisdom of the Lord of spirits has revealed him to the holy and righteous. For he hath preserved the lot of the righteous, because they have hated and despised the world of unrighteousness.
Now remember, we're supposed to hate this evil world. Okay, we're not supposed to love the world, because Yahweh's going to destroy this old world. We're supposed to hate sin and unrighteousness and all this Babylonian system. And they have hated all its works and ways in the name of the Lord, the spirits of Yahweh. We're supposed to do everything in the name of Yahweh, and we're supposed to be persecuted for his sake. If we're persecuted for our own sins and our own evil, that's not going to get us anywhere. For in his name they are saved. Remember, whoever calls upon the name of Yahweh in the last day shall be saved. And according to his good pleasure hath it been in regard to their life. In those days, downcast in countenance shall the kings of the earth have become, and the strong who possess the land because of the works of their hands. Well, let's think about that. The strong, okay, the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth and the strong people that rule this earth right now, the only reason that they are in power is because they've taken it by force. Remember, they even try to take heaven by force? But Yahweh is fixing to judge them and cast them down. Verse 9, for on the day of their anguish and affliction, they shall not be able to save themselves. Remember, some of them are going to hide in the mountains and under the rocks and in the Area 51s and all the underground bunkers they have, but they're not going to be able to hide. And I will give them over into the hands of mine elect.
Well, what is to say in Matthew? It says, bring before me my enemies, not that I should rule over them and slay them. So Yahweh, in the day of judgment, he's going to have his elect also helping out, take out the trash. Okay, we're part of his army. As straw in the fire, so shall they burn before the face of the holy.
Ooh, Yahweh is going to burn not just the tares, but also the chaff of the wheat, the white trash, just like straw in the fire. As lead in the water shall they sink before the face of the righteous. What's that saying? That if you cause a little child to sin, it'd be better if a millstone or maybe lead were hung around your neck and you sank to the bottom of the ocean? That's what, ooh, same principle. And no trace of them shall any more be found. So there's a lot of bad people that Yahweh is going to judge here. And on the day of their affliction there shall be rest on the earth. So if you take away these evil people, then there will be rest eventually. And before them they shall fall and not rise again. And there shall be no one to take them with his hands and raise them, for they have denied the Lord Yahweh and his anointed. The name of the Lord of spirits be blessed.
Martin, do you have a comment? Okay, Martin is busy. I'll go to the next chapter, which is chapter 40.
Hold on a second.
All right, that's 48.
Let's see. Let me go ahead and look at it. I was listening to it. Let me see. Okay, 48. We saw a fountain of righteousness, which was inexhaustible. There were many fountains of wisdom. Thirsty drank of it, and were filled with wisdom. goes on, the signs were created. So, all who dwell on earth shall fall down, worship for him, and will praise and bless, celebrate with song the Lord of Spirits. It goes on, he says, the wisdom of the Lord of Spirit has revealed him to the holy and righteous. Okay? Because they have hated and despised this world of unrighteousness. It says that, you know, Satan is the god of this world, hated all his works, ways in, you know, in the name of the Lord of Spirits. Okay. So, it says later on in the Bible, is that those who are humble shall be raised up, and those who are proud and haughty shall be cast down. So, on the days of anguish, afflictions, they shall not be able to save themselves. I will give them over to the hands of your elect, as straw on the fire, so shall they burn before the face of the holy, as lead in the water, shall they sink before the face of the righteous, and no trace of them shall be any more be found. On that day of affliction, there shall be rest in the earth, and for them they shall fail and not rise again. There shall be no one take them with his hands and raise them, for they have denied the Lord of Spirits as anointed. The name of the Lord of Spirits be blessed. So, this is how it is going to be in the end days. So now you have, chapter, 49?
49.
That's right.
Hey, we're going to finish. I want to finish the second parable here, and then after that we'll stop for the Bible study portion. So we got about, I guess, 6 more chapters. It looks like, let me see
how many we got. We got, let's see here, we got 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, we got 9 more.
9 more chapters, some of them aren't that long.
We'll try to finish this. Now, after each chapter, if you don't want to come in, I'll just keep on going. So I don't know if you're, but as long as you want to comment, that's fine.
I'll go ahead and try to comment on every chapter here.
That's fine.
Okay.
All right, here we go, so, 49. Verse 1, and this talks about the power and wisdom of the elect one. For wisdom is poured out like water, and glory faileth not before him forevermore.
So Yahweh is not going to hold anything back from his true elect. He's going to give us all the wisdom and the healing of nations, and we're going to be healthy and whole again. Verse 2, for he is mighty in all the secrets of righteousness, and unrighteousness shall disappear as a shadow, and have no countenance, have no continuance, because the elect one standeth before the Lord of Spirits, and his glory is forever and ever, and his might unto all generations. And in him dwells the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit which gives insight. This is something Satan and his fallen angels don't have. This is something Solomon obviously didn't have. They don't have wisdom. They don't have insight. And the spirit of understanding, that would be like discernment, and of might. And the spirit of those who have fallen asleep in righteousness. And he shall judge the secret things, and none shall be able to utter a lying word before him. But that's the thing. You may lie to your mom, your dad, your family. You may lie to your friends. You can lie to the whole world, but you can't lie to Yahweh. He knows everything. Just like that woman at the well that said that she was with her husband. He said, no, you're not. You've been with 7 or 8 men, and the guy you're with now, you're not married to. So she tried to lie and say she only been married one time. She was with her husband, and he knew she'd already been on number 8, and she wasn't even legally married to him. So you're not going to lie to Yahweh. For he is the elect one before the Lord of Spirits according to his good pleasure. Yahweh hath put his son, the Messiah, the Word made flesh, part of him, in power over all things, and his good pleasure. Martin, you got any comment?
Let me look. Sure. Let me look. Okay. It says that wisdom is poured out like water, and glory fails not before him forevermore. He's mighty in all secrets of righteousness. It goes on. His spirit of wisdom, spirit which gives insight, the spirit of understanding and might, spare those who have fallen asleep in righteousness. For he shall judge the secret things, and none shall be able to utter a lying word before him. For he is the elect one before the Lord of Spirits, according to his good pleasure. yeah, this, you know, the elect one is Jesus Christ here. So, let's go on to chapter 50.
50, okay. This talks about the glorification and victory of the righteous, the repentance of the Gentiles. And in those days a change shall take place for the holy and elect, and the light of the days shall abide upon them, and glory and honor shall turn to the holy. On the day of affliction, on which evil shall have been treasured up against these sinners, and the righteous shall be victorious in the name of Yahweh. And he will cause the others to witness this, that they may repent and forego the works of their hands. So see, the arm of flesh is not going to save you. The works of your own hands, your own sin, your own evil works. It says that they're going to see the holy elect, and some of these people are going to repent from their own evil works. Verse 3, they shall have no honor through the name of the Lord of Spirits, yet through his name shall they be saved. And the Lord of Spirits will have compassion on them, for his compassion is great. And he is righteous also in his judgment. This almost sounds like that the Gentiles are like the good Negroes and the good Asians, and they're not going to be in the New Jerusalem. They're not going to be in Yahweh's kingdom, but he's not going to destroy them if they repent and they can go back to the Dog Star Plan or whatever. I mean, that's kind of what it sounded like, because it says that there's no honor. They have no honor in his name. They're not his family. Okay. See, it says yet through his name. It says they shall have no honor through the name of Yahweh. Because they're not, they didn't come from Adam. They're not the white race. Yet through his name shall be saved, because they repented. That's what it's kind of talking about here. So this is saying that the Gentiles are not white. They're not Israelite. But yet they're not mongrels evidently either. They're pure Asians or pure Negroes. And I guess the good ones, the good niggers and good Asians, they're going to go back to wherever Yahweh made them. For his compassion is great, and he is righteous also in his judgment, and in the presence of his glory, unrighteousness also shall not maintain itself. See, that's why Satan had to be kicked out of heaven, because he was evil, and one-third of the angels. I mean, when you're evil, you can't be around Yahweh, you know. And in the presence of his glory, unrighteousness also shall not maintain itself. At his judgment, the unrepentant shall perish before him. So if you don't repent and you just say Jesus paid it all, and Paul told me that the law is done away with and we're just saved by grace, then you're going to perish before Yahweh. That's what this just said. So this agrees with everything else, even the book of Hebrews, but not the rest of the writings of Paul, because Paul went off the reservation. Verse 5, and from henceforth I will have no mercy on them, saith the Lord of Spirits of Yahweh. Remember Yahweh said in past days he winked at sin, but no longer? Okay, he's called all to come to true repentance. And on the day of judgment, he's not going to have any mercy. This is very serious here. Martin, you got any comment? That was 50.
Let's see. A change shall take place. My day shall buy on them. My glory and honor shall turn to the holy on the day of affliction, which evil shall be treasured up against this, against the sinners. Righteous shall be victorious, because they are witness that they may repent and forego the works of their hands. They shall have no honor through the name of the Lord of Spirits. Through his name shall they be saved. Well, this in many ways here parallels the Bible. His compassion is great, and his righteousness also is judgment. As judgment, the unrepentant shall perish before him, and from henceforth I shall have no mercy on them, says the Lord, the Spirits. So, go on to 51.
Here we go, folks.
And in those days shall the earth also give back that which has been entrusted to it, and Sheol shall give back that which it has received. Oh, really? So the dead in Christ that are in the earth, they'll rise, and the people that went to the abyss, the fallen angels, and all the people that went to Sheol or hell, they're going to be judged at this point. And hell shall give back that which it owes. See, they were there in hell temporarily, but now Yahweh's going to judge them and destroy them. For in those days the elect one shall arise, and he shall choose the righteous and holy from among them. Yahweh says, I choose. You don't choose. We can go to all our family and friends and try to convert them to Yahweh, and we can say we're going to choose everybody, you know, and we're going to pick who we want to come into identity or to be saved. No. You can tell people the truth, but Yahweh does the choosing. Okay, we don't choose. Jim Wickstrom used to say that you couldn't speak at one of his feast days unless you studied under him for 5 or 7 years and he ordained you and he chose you. No, I don't care about Jim Wickstrom. He don't do the choosing. No other man does the choosing. For the day is drawn nigh that they should be saved. Verse 3, and the elect one shall in those days sit on my throne. Yahshua shall sit on the Father's throne, and his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel, for the Lord of spirits Yahweh have given them to him and have glorified him. And in those days shall the mountains leap like rams, and the hills also shall skip like lambs satisfied with milk. Well, remember on the day of judgment, some of the mountains are going to crumble and tumble in the sea, and the volcanoes are going to erupt, and earthquakes. That's what it's talking about. And the faces of all the angels in the heavens shall be lighted up with joy. And the earth shall rejoice, and the righteous shall dwell upon it. Righteousness, the righteous people, the meek, the humble, the righteous shall inherit the earth, and the elect shall walk thereon. So, once Yahweh judges and destroys the old heaven, old earth, and all the evil, wicked people, the new heaven, new earth, and the new Jerusalem, there's not going to be any unrighteousness or sin or evil. There's not going to be no bastard shall inherit the congregation forever. So, Martin, you got any comment?
Let me go on here. Well, it's very much like the last books of Revelation, that the earth will give back that which was entrusted to it, the sea will give up its dead, that Sheol, or the grave, shall give back that which it received, and hell shall give back that which it owes. For in those days the elect one shall arise, he shall choose the righteous and holy from among them. You know, the parables of when Christ returns, he will judge them, you know, according to their works, the sheep and the goats. So he'll choose the righteous and holy from among them. He shall sit up on the throne. The elect one shall sit on Yahweh's throne. His mouth shall pour forth all secrets of wisdom and counsel. The Lord of spirits has given them to him and has glorified. In those days shall the mountains leap like lambs. You see that in the Bible. The hills also shall skip like lambs, satisfied with milk. The face of all the angels shall be lighted up with joy, and the earth shall rejoice. The righteous shall dwell in it, and the elect shall walk therein. So, very much like what is written in Revelation.
Yeah, it basically reaffirms Revelation. I mean, it should have never been taken out of the. The Nicene Council should have never decided to not allow these books in the so-called Bible.
Well, the Nicene Council was Constantine, and they had a big fight over a number of things, including, including the differentiation here between the Arian, A-R-I-A-N, belief that Christ was the Son of God, thus different from Yahweh, and the belief in the Trinity, to where, you know, it was the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and since they were all one and the same thing here. So,
yeah.
They changed that. So, as a result, Barnabas got purged because, hey, Paul was saying,
Well, guess what? Paul was saying that, hey, the Roman Catholic Church had the ultimate, you know, decision here, and, hey, you didn't need to have faith. You didn't need to have works. You just had to have faith here. You didn't need to have works.
Yeah.
You didn't need to obey the law.
Jesus paid it all.
So pretty well, Barnabas was, you know, Barnabas, except for, you know, all except for the book of Hebrews, which was attributed to Paul. Pretty well, Barnabas was pretty well given a short shift here. So that's what they did, you know, in there. Let's go ahead and go on to the next chapter.
52. Okay. This talks about the seven metal mountains and the elect one. Okay, let's talk about these mountains here. And after those days in that place where I had seen all the visions of that which is hidden, for I had been carried off in a whirlwind, and they had borne me toward the west. So this is visions that Enoch was given. There mine eyes saw all the secret things of heaven that shall be, a mountain of iron, and a mountain of copper, and a mountain of silver, and a mountain of gold, and a mountain of soft metal, and a mountain of lead.
Okay.
So this is telling us that the things of heaven and these mountains in heaven, okay, these mountains of metal. And I asked the angel who went with me, saying, what things are these which I have seen in secret? And he said unto me, all these things which thou hast seen shall serve the dominion of his anointed, that he may be potent and mighty on the earth. So these mountains and everything that Yahweh created are going to serve him. He is the mighty. Yahweh is going to rule the universe, and he made everything the exact way he wants it. We should glorify all the perfect creations that Yahweh made instead of trying to think that we should be humble and not think that we've done something great. Verse 5, and that angel of peace answered, saying unto me, wait a little, and there shall be revealed unto thee all the secret things which surround the Lord of Spirits of Yahweh. And these mountains which thine eyes have seen, the mountain of iron, the mountain of copper, the mountain of silver, the mountain of gold, the mountain of soft metal, the mountain of lead, all these shall be in the presence of the elect one as wax before the fire. And like the water which streams down from above upon the mountains, and they shall become powerless before his feet. And it shall come to pass in those days that none shall be saved, either by gold or by silver. Remember it says in the Old Testament, in the latter days, they're going to throw gold and silver in the streets, and because they don't have any food to eat, and nobody's going to give them food. Nobody wants gold or silver. If you don't have food, water, guns, and ammo, gold and silver are worthless, and none to be able to escape the wrath of Yahweh. And there shall be no iron for war, nor shall one clothe oneself with a breastplate. Bronze shall be of no service, and tin shall be of no service, and shall not be esteemed, and lead shall not be desired. Well, a lot of these people that think they're going to go to war are not going to have the capacity to go to war when Yahweh comes back. They're not going to be able to stop his judgment. And all these things shall be desired and destroyed from the surface of the earth. Remember what the fallen angels did when they came down here with Satan? They were mating with all the women. They were teaching them how to make alcohol and drugs. They were teaching them how to race mix and cross all the races of people and mate with animals and people and cross all the seeds and plants. And they were also making weapons of war and teaching the children of Adam, the children of Cain, and all the other Negroes and Asians to fight each other and shed blood. Satan and all his fallen angels were doing all this evil stuff. It hasn't changed. Yahweh's going to put a stop to all that evil. When the elect one, okay, in the last verse, all this will be destroyed from the surface of the earth, verse 9, when the elect one shall appear before the face of the Lord of Spirits. The elect one, Yeshua, will appear before the face of the Lord of Spirits, Yahweh the Father. Martin, you have a question or comment?
Martin.
Martin.
That was 50. That was 53 or 52.
Yeah, let me.
52.
Okay, I'll see if I was there here.
52.
So he sees the Seven Mountains here. This is a little bit new, and not, but some of it's quite there. But none shall be saved, either by gold or by silver. None shall be able to escape. There'll be no iron for war, neither shall one clothe oneself with a breastplate. Bronze shall be of no service. So essentially, your wealth and your implements of war will not save you. Okay? So go ahead and go on to 53.
All right, here we go, folks. 53. This talks about the valley of judgment. Now, I don't know if this is the valley of wheat fields or the Armageddon or Megiddo or whatever. I don't know if this is talking about that or not. The valley of judgment, the angels of punishment, the communities of the elect one. So this would be the good angels of Yahweh inflicting punishment on wicked people. 53. There, verse 1, there mine eyes saw a deep valley with open mouths, and all who dwell on the earth and sea and islands shall bring to him gifts and presents and tokens of homage, but that deep valley shall not become full. And their hands commit lawless deeds, and the sinners devour all whom they lavishly oppress. Well, that sounds like the leaders and rulers we have today. Yet the sinners shall be destroyed before the face of the Lord of Spirits, Yahweh, and they shall be banished from the face of his earth, and they shall perish forevermore. So they're not going to be in heaven or earth of the New Jerusalem. They're going to be destroyed totally. Verse 3, for I saw the angels of punishment abiding there and preparing all the instruments of Satan. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, for whom are they preparing these instruments? These are instruments of Satan. And he said unto me, they prepare these instruments for the kings and mighty of the earth, that they may thereby be destroyed. So these angels are going to destroy the wicked people in power. Verse 6, and after this, the righteous and elect one shall cause the house of his congregation to appear. Henceforth, they shall be no more hindered in the name of Yahweh, the Lord of Spirits. Verse 7, and these mountains shall not stand as the earth before his righteousness, but the hills shall be as a fountain of water, and the righteous shall have rest from the oppression of sinners. So the righteous are persecuted while they're on this earth, but eventually they're going to have rest when Yahweh comes back and destroys the wicked. Martin, do you have any comment?
Let's see. Their hands commit lawless deeds. Sinners devour all who they lawlessly oppress. The sinners shall be destroyed before the face of the Lord of Spirits, and shall be banished from the face of this earth. They shall perish forever and ever. So he saw the angels of punishment abiding there, preparing all the instruments of Satan. I asked the angel of peace, who went with me, for whom are they preparing these instruments? He said to me, they prepare these for the kings and mighty of this earth, that they may therefore be thereby be destroyed. And after this, the righteous elect one shall cause the house of his congregation to appear. Henceforth, they shall no more be hindered in the name of the Lord of Spirits. And the mountains shall not stand as the earth before its righteousness, but the hill shall be as a fountain of water, and the righteous shall have rest from the oppression of sinners. So, yes, the righteous shall, you know, they are not treated well on this earth, but they shall have their reward. So go on to chapter 55.
Okay, chapter 55 here. And I looked and turned to another part of the earth and saw there a deep valley with burning fire. And they brought the kings and the mighty and began to cast them into this deep valley. So this sounds like a lake of fire here. And there mine eyes saw how they made
these their instruments, iron chains of immeasurable weight. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, saying, for whom are these chains prepared? They're going to bind these wicked people up with chains of iron. And he said unto me, these are being prepared for the host of Azazel. Now remember, Azazel is a number name for Satan. So that they may take them and cast them into the abyss of complete condemnation. So there was an abyss of darkness, and there's also an abyss or the lake of fire. And they shall cover their jaws with rough stones, as the Lord of spirits commanded. And Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Phanuel shall take hold of them on that great day and cast them on that day into the burning furnace. And the Lord of spirits may take vengeance on them for their unrighteousness in becoming subject to Satan and leading astray those who dwell on the earth. So, the four archangels here, I don't think Phanuel is number four. I think Uriel, but at least those top four angels on the day of judgment, they're going to bind all the fallen angels that followed Azazel and put them in this abyss. Okay, verse 7. In those days shall punishment come from the Lord of spirits, and he will open all the chambers of waters which are above in the heavens, and the fountains which are beneath the earth, and all the waters shall be joined with the waters that which is above the heavens is the masculine. Okay, so the waters of the heaven is masculine, and the water which is beneath the earth is feminine. And they shall destroy all who dwell on the earth. That's talking about the flood. So some of this is already occurred. And they shall destroy all that dwell on the earth and those who dwell under the ends of the heavens. And when they have recognized their unrighteousness which they have wrought the earth, then by these shall they perish. Hey, Martin. Are you there? Okay, Martin's busy. I'm going to go to the next chapter here. Martin's talking to Roxy. So that was actually 54. I'm on 55 now. It's real short. This talks about, they don't have an introductory statement here. Verse 1, and after that, the head of days repented and said, in vain have I destroyed all who dwell on the earth. And he, aware by his great name, henceforth I will not do so to all who dwell on the earth. So remember when Yahweh flooded the earth, he said he wasn't going to do that anymore. He put a rainbow up in the clouds. That's what he's talking about here. And I will set a sign in the heaven. That's the rainbow. And this shall be a pledge of good faith between me and them forever, so long as heaven is above the earth, and this is in accordance with my command. Verse 3, when I have desired to take hold of them by the hand of the angels on the day of tribulation and pain because of this. This talks about the final judgment of Azazel and the watchers, the fallen angels. I will cause my chastisement, this is Yahweh speaking, and my wrath to abide upon them, saith Yahweh, the Lord of spirits. Ye mighty kings who dwell on the earth, ye shall have to behold my elect one, how he sits on the throne of glory. All these people that think they're kings of the earth, they're going to have to behold the Son, the Messiah, Yeshua. That he's going to be on the throne of glory and judge Azazel and all his associates and all his hosts in the name of Yahweh. So Yahweh is speaking about what's going to happen to all these wicked people. And that was 55. Now, Martin, are you there?
Yeah, I was there. What happens is that in 54, it says that they had an awake fragment on the first world judgment. And so they said that they're being prepared for the host of Azazel. So now it's time for Judgment Day. Take them and cast them in the abyss of complete condemnation, and they shall cover their jaws with rust stones as the Lord's Spirit commanded. And you have these four archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Samuel, shall take hold of them on the great day and cast them in that day into the burning furnace. Lord's spirits may take vengeance on them for their unrighteousness, become subject to Satan, leaving astray those who dwell on the earth. So here he is putting these demons, into the furnace, the lake of fire. And then he goes on in verse 7, it's a Noachic fragment. So this is from the time, really Enoch was the grandfather of Noah. The great grandfather of Noah. Yeah. His son was Methuselah.
Yeah.
His son was Lamech, the righteous Lamech, and his son was, so essentially, Enoch was Noah's great grandfather. In those days shall plants become from mortal spirits. He will open up chambers of water. So this is Noachic fragment on the first world judgment. There's two world judgments here. Now, essentially, we know now that this was just simply a local, essentially a local flood to drown out Zog Babylon first, which consisted of the sinning Adamites and the demons and the rest of the creatures who lived in the Tarim Basin. And all the waters shall be joined to the waters that above the heaven is the masculine, the water which is beneath the earth is the feminine. They shall destroy all that dwell on the earth, those who dwell under the ends of the heaven. And when they have recognized their unrighteousness, so that they have wrought on the earth, then by these shall they perish. So this was the very first judgment. Remember, several years ago when we covered the lost books of the Bible, there was to be two pillars, one of brick, one stone, one to represent the end of the earth by water, and one to represent the end of the earth by fire. We are
correct
now talking about fire. So anyway,
we only got two chapters left, Martin.
The head of days are past, and in vain have I destroyed all that dwell in the earth. He swore by his great name, henceforth I will not do this again, at least not by water. I'll set aside the heaven, the rainbow, to be a pledge of good faith. And he goes on, this according with my command. So then, verses 3 and 4, what you have is that you have him going forward, past there, to the end days, where we live now. As I take hold of him by the hands of the angels, day tribulation, pain because of this, I will cause my chastisement and his wrath to abide upon them, saith Yahweh, Lord of spirits. You mighty kings which dwell on the earth, you shall have to behold my elect, how he sits in the throne of glory and judges Azazel and all his associates, and all his hosts in the name of the Lord of spirits. So then we're going to go on to 56.
Yes.
Okay?
We got two more. 56 is a good one. All right, here we go. Verse 1. And I saw there the host of the angels, this would be Yahweh, of punishment, going, and they held scourges and chains of iron and bronze. And I asked the angel of peace who went with me, saying, to whom are those who hold the scourges going? And he said unto them, unto me, to their elect and beloved ones, that they may be cast into the chasm of the abyss of the valley. And verse 4, and then that valley shall be filled with their elect and beloved, and the day of their lives shall be at an end. And the days of their leading astray shall not thenceforward be reckoned. So all these people that lead the people astray and do evil, they're going to be destroyed. This talks about the last struggle of heathen powers against Israel, the elect of Yahweh, the true white race. Verse 5, and in those days the angels shall return and hurl themselves in the east upon the Parthian and Medes. They shall stir up the kings, so that a spirit of unrest shall come upon them, and they shall rouse them from their thrones, that they may break forth as lions from their lairs, and as a hungry wolf among their flocks. And they shall go up and tread upon underfoot the land of his elect ones. And the land of his elect ones shall be before them a threshing floor and highway. But the city of my righteous shall be a hindrance to their horses.
Okay. So these people think they're going to go to war with true Israel. And they shall begin to fight among themselves, and their right hand shall be stout against themselves. And a man shall not know his brother. So they're going to actually, they won't know who they're fighting. They're going to actually kill each other. Nor a son, his father, or mother. Till there be no number of the corpses for their slaughter, and their punishment be not in vain. Remember the Old Testament? A lot of times Israel will be fighting their enemies, and there'd be clouds or rain, or there'd be dust, or there'd be confusion at night, and the enemy would actually kill their own people in accident. That's what he's talking about, stuff like that. Verse 8, in those days Sheol shall open its jaws, and they shall be swallowed up therein. And their destruction shall be at an end. Sheol shall devour the sinners in the presence of the elect. Martin, you got any comment?
Because we only got a short paragraph. The last chapter, that was 56. 57 is real short. I can go ahead and read 57. Let me go ahead and read 57, folks. Martin can cover both of them.
This talks about the return from the dispersion. And it came to pass after this that I saw another host of wagons and the men riding thereon and coming on the winds from the east and from the west to the south. And the noise of the wagons was heard. And when this turmoil took place, the holy ones from heaven remarked it, and the pillars of the earth were moved from their place, and the sound thereof was heard from the one end of the heaven to the other in one day. And they shall all fall down and worship the Lord of spirits, Yahweh.
And this is the end of the second parable. Martin, we're done tonight for the Bible study of the second parable. Do you have any comment on 56 or 57?
Okay, folks, I don't know what's going on with Martin. The third parable is only two little short chapters. I could actually do that until Martin comes back. So let me go ahead and do that. This talks about the blessedness of the saints. And I began to speak the third parable concerning the righteous and elect. Blessed are ye, ye righteous and elect, for glorious shall be your lot. Okay, there will be a reward for the persecuted righteous and the persecuted elect. Verse 3, and the righteous shall be in the light of the sun, and the elect in the light of eternal life. The days of their life shall be unending, and the days of the holy without number. And they shall seek the light and find righteousness with the Lord of spirits. There shall be peace to the righteous in the name of the eternal Yahweh. And after this it shall be said to the holy in heaven, that they shall seek out the righteous, seek out the secrets of righteousness, the heritage of faith, for it has become bright as the sun upon the earth, and the darkness is past. And there shall be a light that never endeth, and to a limit, okay, of days they shall not come. So Yahweh is eternal, he's all good, he's all light. For the darkness shall first have to be destroyed. The evil, the old heaven and old earth, Satan and his kids, the fallen angels, all the evil is going to have to be destroyed in all the darkness. The Illuminati, the Freemasons, all that is going to have to be destroyed. And the light established before the Lord of spirits. And the light of uprightness established forever before the Lord of spirits. We got one more chapter in this third parable, and we're done with it. In those days, this is chapter 59. In those days mine eyes saw the secrets of the lightnings and of the lights and the judgment they execute. And they lightened for a blessing or a curse, as the Lord of Spirits, Yahweh, willeth. Yahweh wills, and it will be done. And there I saw the secrets of the thunder, and how when it resounds above in the heaven, the sound thereof is heard, and he caused me to see the judgments executed on the earth, where they be for well-being and blessing, or for a curse, according to the word of the Lord of Spirits of Yahweh. And after that, all the secrets of the lights and lightnings were shown to me, and they lighten for blessing and for satisfying. So Enoch was given the secret to. He was.
Where are you at,
Martin?
Yeah.
We have finished the last two chapters of the second parable. We did the next two chapters of the third parable, and now I'm done with the Bible study because the book of Noah is next, and I don't want to go into that. So,
okay.
you can cover chapter 56, 57, 58, and 59. I've covered those, and then we're done. So, why don't you take over?
You covered 56. Okay, 56. I was busy getting something for Roxy here.
No, that's okay.
So, it says, you know, the angel, you know, 56 said, the host of the angels of punishment, they are scourges and chains of irons and bronze. And they held themselves east to the upon the Parthians and Medes. Well, the Parthians were a Japhethic people. The Medes were a Semitic people, but they were, you know, they lived where current day Iran and Iraq is. You know, so in the mountains of that here, they stir up the kings. Okay, so a man shall not know his brother, nor his son his father, or his mother. So, he says that the elect shall be shall be before them a threshing floor and a highway. Okay, goes on. He shall devour the sinners in the presence of the elect. And then 57, it came to pass after this, saw another host of wagons and men riding thereon, coming on the winds of the earth, from the west of the earth, and the south noise of the wagons was heard. When this turmoil took place, the holy ones from heaven were marked it, and the pillars of the earth were removed from their place. These two pillars, one of stone, one of brick, and the sound thereof was heard from one end of heaven to the other in one day, and they shall all fall down and worship the Lord's spirits. This is the end of the second parable. So you went on to the third parable concerning the righteous elect. He says, blessed are you, righteous elect. For glory shall be your lot, and the righteous shall be in the light of the sun, the elect in the light of eternal life, and the days of their life shall be unending, the days of the holy without number, they shall seek the light. Okay. Shall be said to the holy in heaven, they shall seek out the secrets of righteousness, the heritage of faith, for it became bright as the sun upon the earth, and darkness is past. There shall be a light that never ends, and to limit it, you know, and a limit, literally number of days, they shall not come, for darkness shall first have been destroyed, and light established for the Lord of Spirits, and the light of uprightness established forever before the land of spirits. And so then we go to 49. In those days my eyes saw the secrets of the lightning and, you know, lights of judgment. They execute literally their judgment. They lighten for a blessing or curse as the Lord of Spirits wills. There I saw secrets of thunder, how it resounds above the heavens, the sound thereof is heard. He caused me to see the judgments executed on the earth, whether they be for well-being or blessing, or for a curse, according to the word of the Lord of Spirits. And after that, the secrets of the lights and lightnings were shown to me, and they lightened for blessing and for satisfying. So, essentially, LX is what? Number 40? So you're going to the book of Noah.
Well, we're going to do that next time. I'm not going to do that tonight. We did, I mean, pretty much, you know, it's already 8. It's almost 9 o'clock. Are you doing a movement tour tonight?
Yeah, I'm going ahead. I always go ahead and do one. I usually try to do one. I'm going to do it on 146, 188. We'll see if the pedal packy possums are mad at you or what the deal is here. So we covered the second parable from 45 to...
We did the second and third parables tonight.
Okay. So we'll go ahead, fragment of the Book of Noah and appendix to the Book of Enoch. So we're going on to the Book of Noah next.
We can do that Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to go ahead and do one Thursday.
If you want, I can go and say a prayer, and then I can hang around for a few minutes, and we could talk about, I guess, what's any news you got. You got news.
Yeah.
All right,
it's just degeneration of these tards. Go ahead and do the prayer.
All right, here we go, folks. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. This was a Bible study for Yahweh's elect, the true Israelites, are not only to seed line, but this is the elect, the Israelites that believe in repenting and keeping all of your laws and commandments putting you first and realizing that you are the King of all kings and that we are to be humble and that even if we are persecuted on this earth, that we will be rewarded for it and to put all faith and trust in you, Father. That is what we need to do. And that your words are forever, your laws are forever, and that heaven and earth will pass away. There will be a new heaven, new earth, but that you will never rescind or revoke or do away with any of your words or laws or promises or your covenants. And so we need to know that, and the book of not only the modern-day Bibles and Revelation and the Old Testament and the red letters, but the book of Enoch confirmed everything. It did not disagree. And so we did the second and third parable tonight, Father Yahweh. And we asked that, that you guide us, that your Holy Spirit guide us and allow us to teach your, rightly divide your scriptures and use discernment and to teach your true meaning of your words, Father Yahweh. And that we live by it, we set an example, and that we teach others to know your truth, and that the only way that they can come back to you is through true repentance. And so, Father Yahweh, we pray for this small elect that would listen to this show, and we pray for the elect worldwide. We know that you choose us. We don't choose anybody. It is our job to tell all Israelites your scriptures and your words, your red letters. But it is not for us to decide or choose them. It is for them to repent and for you to choose them. And so, Father Yahweh, we just give you thanks for all your pure creations, all your goodness, all your light, as the Book of Enoch has told us. And that one day when we're in your new heaven, your new earth, and your new Jerusalem, you will be in total charge, Father Yahweh. And there will be no darkness, there will be no sin, there will be no evil, there will be no wickedness. And we should long for that day, and we should hate this evil earth and this evil system and all the sin here, and realize that this is a temporary place. We will be persecuted, but we are not to enjoy this place. We are not to enjoy the wicked and evil system, and we are not to break bread with the wicked people, and we are to come out of Babylon. And we need to fully understand that, Father Yahweh. So once again, we will be back if you allow us to and nothing interferes. We will continue to stand for your words as often as we can. We will probably should be back next Thursday to finish this book of Enoch. And once again, Father Yahweh, we give all thanks and glory to you, and we just appreciate you so much. And we need to dedicate our lives to you forever. In your name, Yahweh, so be it. Hey, Martin, are you with Roxy, Martin? Okay, folks, I think Martin might be with Roxy.
I was just finishing the notes for tonight's show.
Oh, okay. So tonight's show. So, but hey, you know, you sent me that picture, Martin, in that email. It's got a picture of August Christ in a orange jumpsuit. You want to explain how you came across the idea to do that picture? I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, I did Eunuch went ahead and did it here.
It kind of looks like Baker would do.
You know, Skip Baker is not clever. You know, Skip Baker's a tard. Eunuch is hilarious. It had Wicked Dick eulogized my visser. It had Meerkat Mark Downey eulogized my Spank in the SPLC. It had me. Wonder why I'm still alive. It Grinder Greggy. I guess he got outed at his out of a gym in Seattle here where he maybe hit on people. Whatever.
Now, hold on. Who was that guy next to Greggy? Was that
Dickie Spencer?
Dickie Barrett or Spencer?
Dickie Spencer, yeah.
Yeah.
Dickie's getting his ass chewed, rightfully so, for begging for $25,000 when he owns millions and he hasn't done a damn thing for the tards who came there and got in trouble. You know, I mean, he didn't help them one damn bit. He was just a selfish little, you know, one-age Jew boy. You know, one-age Jew boy, probably homosexual, little trust fund tard who essentially grabbed for notoriety and now he's been caught out. Last week or so, pretty well, his little buddy Cameron Faggot had to dismiss all his bogus lawsuits against the colleges. So I've been looking for seeing Brian Rio, where Brian Rio is at, and Brian Rio is nowhere to be found. You know what
really?
I mean?
So is Brian Rio, he's got a law degree. He didn't pass the bar. He don't practice. Is he still working for the same lawyers, or what's he doing?
I bet he is, but he's gotten in trouble is what he's done here. Well, Popcat showed up the last minute here.
Really?
I think that I don't see any new lawsuits here that he's filing. I checked last month here, though. Pretty well, the law, essentially, you know, pretty well it seems like the system is just grabbing for whatever the hell they can to go ahead and go against the poor, and they're just simply, you know, they're acting like there is just no tomorrow, and probably for them there isn't any. You just have these people just saying, hey, I can do whatever the hell I want to. I mean, and then they get all... they all mad when someone like me says, well, no, you can't. No, you can't. But on the other hand, they can. Wednesday, here's this stupid bitch, and you know, what happens is that she posted a notice of the agenda for the cemetery meeting after I got Monday's papers. Here's the bitch. You know, here's the bitch. I mean, she deliberately does that so I won't be able to go ahead and attend the cemetery board meeting. And the reason that is I won't know that it exists here because she'll go ahead and post the agenda late on Monday after I'm no longer allowed in there. So I go ahead, and then here's Wednesday, and, you know, hey, you know, I just found out about this here. You deliberately said to where I can't attend a public meeting. This is, you know, this is what you are using, this bogus, restraining order to go ahead and keep me from attending public meetings is what you're doing. That is a violation of your own restraining order. So here's this crooked, you know, homosexual judge, and he has not answered my motion for judgment of acquittal and motion for judgment for new trial. So here they are violating their precious constipation, their bill of goods here. And I had this character who I knew while I was a nut house. He keeps on filing stuff here. Oh, fraud was committed upon the court and all this sort of thing. I said, shoot, I sort of feel for him because, you know, he got convicted of statutory sodomy twice and got a year, you know, essentially got life plus 10 years. And I don't know if he did or not. I don't think he did, but, you know, hey. What they do is they are putting the weak and the poor in prison. That's what they're doing. They're essentially torturing people, even though he's a Mamzer himself, but essentially torturing people in order to, I guess, live off their, live off their fear, their, despair, whatever. They're just like evil, evil, evil creatures here. They just simply live to be evil. Here's this judge named Brian T. Goldstein, and here's Goldstein, hey, I can do whatever the hell I want to. Anyway, Friday at the last minute, I filed a notice. Essentially, I went ahead and said, hey, I change the venue. I want the venue changed to Barry or Lawrence or Christian or even Greene County rather than take it up to Jasper County. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, last week, he pulled a Brian Leo on me, essentially didn't have that thing canceled, so they electronically mailed it, and then they waited for a while to go ahead and mail it out. So I didn't get the thing until the 30th here, and today is the 6th. You know what I mean? I didn't get it until the 30th. So they deliberately play these little games, and hey, I mean I think old Nigger Lips is part Jew, and this obvious Brian T. Goldstein, he's all the other Jew. That's the crap that they pull.
Is this Goldstein in Ohio? Is he a judge or is he in Ohio?
No, he's a lawyer in Kansas City. This is on my lawsuits against City of Granby for them violating the Missouri Sunshine Act. Why in the world should we have state governments? Why in the world should we have county governments? I mean, if they're not going to obey the law, why should we have city governments? I mean, really, what they rely on is that they're going to uphold their own little power against insurrection by local people. But, hey, folks, governments should be local altogether. But if you have evil local government, why should you pay taxes? Why should you listen to these characters here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they are just simply destroying their own, not only their own legitimacy, they're destroying their own ability to continue to predate upon, white people and the rest here. But we got to understand is that, hey, white people are in a minority when you go ahead and count the worthless wiggers. They're in a minority. Well, on the other hand, the niggers cannot provide for themselves. The gooks cannot provide them for themselves. Here's Trump. He talked big shit, but at the very end, he let every single one of these caravans from Honduras go ahead and be, hurt. And, the answer to that is, guess what? If you're really refugees, you need to stop at the closest place, which is actually Guatemala, the closest safe place, or Mexico, but what they want to do is they want to come into this country and live off the white man.
Anyway,
I've seen this nigger from Nigeria. He's gone ahead and found a big fat gorda wigger in Granby, and now he no longer lives in the Osho. He lives in Granby. I've seen him. I was running around Granby last week, and I bought a Hewlett Packard, which has 3 gigabytes, but the thing's in bad shape. I don't know how big a hard drive. I think it used to be a Windows 7 computer.
Okay.
I bought a Hewlett Packard laptop for $10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it has 3 gigabytes, so I may go ahead and strip that thing. It has a real nice screen, but doesn't have much of a processor. Doesn't have much of a battery. The tablet's a little mouse pad. It's not like the one you went ahead and sent me.
Yeah.
It worked real nice here. But anyway, I'll probably go ahead and strip it out of its memory, put it in, to go ahead. I actually got pretty well all my Dell downstairs last week, or Thursday, it would not work, and now it's working just fine. That's the one that's listening in California. So, hey, everything's fine here. I have some legal work I need to go ahead and do, but I don't know if I have to get done by tomorrow, but I did go ahead and file a motion to say, essentially that's what the law says. But on the other hand, these lawyers, these judges, and the rest will not obey the law. But on the other hand, here is Greggy Stremmel, Grinder Greggy Stremmel, and he still has not ruled. He still not has ruled yet. Last I checked, I didn't check late Friday, but I checked Thursday. He had not ruled on my motion for
judgment of acquittal is what he should go ahead and do, because, hey, he is, you know, he is in the wrong. Here it is Wednesday, and here's yet another Grammy pig threatening me with a raft. You cannot go ahead and comment on the papers you get. Why not? Piggy, you're saying that I do not get to comment? I do not get to speak here? Who are you to determine the conditions of that here? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He's preparing for the apocalypse. Well, I'm not quite sure where Jim Baker is here. You know what I mean? Grammy, almost awesome as Brad. It looks like the Nimbus or Tars have found somebody had sent out an email when that show had been on for about an hour or so. So, in any case, anyway, I opened up a pizza. I didn't notice it, but that cardboard had a cardboard. A cardboard thing, I didn't see it here, so the crust was pretty doughy. You know what I mean? And then I cut the cardboard off of it here. But anyway, that's, you know, that's the situation we have. I'm glad to see that you are feeling better and able to go ahead and go back to doing the shows here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I really hated to disrupt. I was out of town for a few days, and I really hated to disrupt. Doing the Bible study, because I like to start a project and finish it, and I hate to start one lost book and then not have it done, you know, within a certain amount of time. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wondering. Guest Forrest Fat Kike here. We will go back. This is just simply. I'm wondering if the Pissers pedal packies are just especially mad at you. So what happens, this is a new chapter. We'll put the Logan Hunter show on it until it gets booted off. I heard from Carb Hunter and Munich that Dave C. Mangina has a special little hotline here to where he can deal with the Linsteady and Roach Motel, you know, incarnation here.
Really?
So, in any case, yeah. So I don't know. They might go ahead and report this show. I went ahead and looked. Actually, I formed this show last week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
What happens? I like getting a couple sock possum shows up in advance. You know what I mean? And I set it up last week here. It did a show Monday. The previous Monday or whatever here. The movement, essentially, you end up having Grady Johnson. He is just simply chomping down on Dickie Spencer.
Yeah.
But, hey, the thing is that here are these frigatards who believe that they have freedom of speech, and they see this nigger DeAndre Harris, who is beating an older whigger with a flashlight, for sale flashlight, and four of them go ahead and beat the fuck out of that nigger. And now they are being, four of them are to be tried, and two of them already been tried. They've gotten 10 years and 6 years, according to the jury. So what happens, you're a white man, and you are defending another white man who's being pounded on by a nigger. This is a racial, this is a race war. This is actually a race war jury, and they should understand that. And I don't know, if it was me, I'd go ahead and pry on poison. The problem of it is that here it is, Albemarle County, and it's just like Columbia, Missouri. Everything around it is sort of liberal, is very much liberal. The county is liberal, the People's Republic of Columbia. But on there, it's a nice place to live because, hey, it brings all these people from out of town, a whole bunch of mamsers, a whole bunch of critters here. So Columbia, Missouri, way back in 2000, had 0.1% unemployment. It was the lowest unemployment, rate in the entire. Now what happens, you drive around Neosho, whatever, you have all these people trying to go ahead and hire you. I mean, hey, now I think it's just like it was in 2007, 2008, before you had a collapse, but
okay, folks, it looks like Martin, his phone has died. So what's going to happen is, I'm not going to go on for much longer, not anyway. So I'm waiting on Martin to call back in. It looks like his phone at the 2-hour mark, it has died. and he's got two or three phones. He'll have to call back in on another one. And anyway, folks, let's look at the chat room and see if Martin is about ready to be back online. Okay, he's gone. We're waiting on Miss Carrie or Martin to call back in. So anyway, yeah, I didn't. Since I've been gone for a few weeks off of TalkShoe, I don't know. I know Martin had a. Martin, are you back?
Yeah, it'd be your phone. What happens? It's been off for 2 hours, so it, you know, shut me off here real quick.
Okay, besides
what happens is that Charlottesville is the University of Virginia. It's sort of like the University of Sodom and Gomorrah at Columbia. You know, they're big faggots. They're all sorts of liberal stuff there. But essentially, on I-70, you have a whole bunch of cornfield counties, and they don't think much of that shit. You know what I mean?
Hey, where's Virginia Tech? Hold on. Where's Virginia Tech at? Virginia Tech.
It is closer, is further up. It's not the same as University of Virginia. This is it's in the University of Virginia system, but that's where they end up having the shooting here. You know, fine with me. I mean, essentially your colleges, wherever your college, you end up having a bunch of liberal wiggers. But what they did when they had that big stink 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whenever it was here, essentially, you had a big backlash, and you had people not sending their kids to the University of Missouri. They lost, 2,000-3,000 students the next year, and they lost, you know, millions of dollars. And they're still sort of punishing the University of Missouri by saying, hey, maybe, you know, why in the world can't these two-year community colleges, why can't they teach a four-year? Why can't they not teach a four-year program in English? In teaching, in business administration, in stuff which does not require a lab. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, science and technology. And they are, you know, the University of Missouri Columbia is bitching about, but they lost a good deal of their strength here as a flagship university by pulling this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay? So, anyway, Blacksburg here. Yeah, you're home. Okay, that's where it is. I'm not quite sure. I think it's at least 75, 50, 100 miles away from the university. I mean, essentially, you have old Thomas Jefferson, Monticello, and he lived at the top of the hill, and here he is.
Yeah.
It's turned into a liberal.
Most of Virginia is real liberal. Most of Virginia is Democratic, real liberal.
Most of Virginia is actually very conservative. Southwest Missouri,
really?
they act a good deal like they do in Tennessee.
I thought just Western Virginia was somewhat conservative. I thought the bigger cities in Virginia had a lot of blacks, a lot of minorities.
Well, the problem is you have the district of corruption.
Yeah.
In the northeastern portion here, and then you end up having. You know, essentially, that's one of the richer counties, you know, from all the government shit. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
And so then you have Hampton Roads, which has a Navy port. Now the Navy's all faggoty. You know what I mean? So, hey, you end up having Eastern Virginia, where a lot of people live. Yes, it's quite faggoty. You know, the place which is inland, which is conservative, you know, is not at all. So what I would say is that probably these conservative areas should go ahead and punish the University of Virginia by saying, hey, look, why shouldn't our community colleges teach four-year programs? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is, you know, Missouri, I knew the University of Missouri had really stepped off its dick by having crazy bitches screaming and can't we get some muscle here and, you know, I guess actually good journalism students. I mean, they really fucked up. They went ahead and made their little journalism school look like shit, which it is. No, really. I wonder why anybody gets into, quote, journalism. You know what I mean? Now, the newspapers are pretty well on their last legs. The TV stations, well, if you're fairly good, female, big tits, whatever, you know, you can be an info babe. But really, well-packed purposes here. What the hell is the purpose of a journalism degree? I remember it was the night before Oklahoma City, and I was talking to this wigger who worked at the pizza place where we used to meet in Springfield.
Yeah.
I said, what happened? Well, I got a degree in journalism. I said, oh, so
yeah.
Are you using it? No. You know, he's working at a pizza place. I says, hey, look at this. And I had a zine. I had a paper zine. 5 double-sided pages, Southwest Missouri Libertarian. And I had bought this software for $20 or $30, and I was actually doing journalism. I was actually doing a paper zine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what happens is that you learn when you have to go ahead and cut and paste your desktop publishing, you learn layout, you learn all sorts of stuff here, the old-fashioned way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it would have two, sometimes three columns. I mean, it was double-sided. I mean, it just simply had all sorts of stuff. I laid it out, you know, the old-fashioned way here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in case here, you know, anyway, here.
All right, look, I just looked up Virginia. Supposedly it's 60% white. It's about a little over 20% black. About 15 or more beaner. I mean, it's not.
It's turning into an imperial city. It's turning into Manville.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Washington D.C. You go in. You go on the mall. You go from what Union Station, you know, Union Station here, where the trains go. Then next door you have the Supreme Court building. Then you have the Congressional Building, and then you have the big old mall. You have Smithsonian, you have National Archives, you have all this good shit, all these big buildings. At the very end of it, you have the Wigger House, you know what I mean? And you have the Lincoln Memorial and the other reflecting pool. And for about two, you know, since around the mall, it is white with the tourists and the bureaucrats and the government workers and all this sort of thing. You know, still have a few niggers, but hey, you go out three blocks here, it's just nigger town. You know what I mean? That's what it is. You go all the way to, well, you know, you go to the, you know, you go to the White House, and then just in Memorial, then you end up having the Pentagon. So essentially it's the imperial town, but the ones who do the mopping and whatever, why, they're niggers. You know what I mean? So you end up having the really, you know, like Langley and Tyson Quarters and all this place here. You have essentially a white one. Now you have a county which is mainly, you know, middle class nigger. Say for the niggers who got a job mid level in government.
Yeah.
Now hey, it is enough to essentially to where now you have Virginia being a purple county, and it went for Hillary just by a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, Vixen, anyway, I'm looking at the chat room here. Fight Kikes being amusing here. So anyway, you have that. But you know, what I'm concerned about is, well, essentially the local areas. And as far as Charlottesville, it was a total, I thought it was a victory because it told Wiggers they had no rights. But shit, if you were even a smart Wigger, you should have known you didn't have no rights. You know, here it was.
I mean,
here
the thing is, all of this stuff, you got Zog all around. It's all a setup. All these rallies, it's just like when Hal Turner and Alex Linder used to go to Knoxville and they had those rallies. Everybody else got arrested, but they never, I mean, I think Hal Turner... No, I think I
Linder got arrested. He got arrested.
One night in jail. But if somebody, if a wigger like me or you was to go down there, we would probably get
their hands
in prison.
Yeah, and that's what happened. It was Unite the Right. Essentially, every single Zogmont card was there to show his ass. And it was shut down unlawfully, and the first mistake allowed the niggers to run wild.
Look, 10 years in prison. What about the other? What about the black guy he got in a fight with? How come he didn't get jail time?
Well, what happens is that they made a big deal, and then what they did is the same thing here. They just pretty well let him off without even a misdemeanor.
You know what I mean?
Was he charged with a hate crime? What was the charges? I mean,
No. They didn't want to try this. I call him Din Du Harris. His name was DeAndre or whatever. He was just simply a dangerous nigger. I don't know if you're. Let me go ahead. I hear old Brad Griffey. He's quite like a pussy about it here. And all I can say is, why the hell are you so stupid as to have anything to do with something where you're going to get in trouble? You know what I mean? Because you're going to do is get in trouble. That's all it's going to be accomplished by this shit. You know what I mean?
This guy, they got 10 years. He got in a fight with DeAndre Harris. DeAndre Harris.
Yeah. And then this Puerto Rican, who was a good Samaritan, who believed in freedom of speech, he got 6 years, and I think they're going to go ahead and try. They're going to go ahead and try the two remaining. Which, I mean, it's just sort of it's a pity here. You can't just pry on poison these cocksuckers. You know what I mean? But essentially, I've gone ahead and looked, and Charlottesville is just a little red zone, within it here. Anyway, I was doing a lot of stuff about, Jacob Goodwin convicted. Let me see here. Let me go ahead and put the link in so you guys can go ahead and look at it here. Okay?
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what the hell happened. I'll go ahead and talk about that here. I think that what we need is we need a civil war. And I think we'll get one soon enough here. Anyway, yep. I need to go ahead and start my show here. It's on a different channel. It'll be on, 146-188.
All right. All right. I'll be back with the book. Okay, so I will. So you're going to start the show.
I'm going to go ahead and start the other show here. Okay?
All right. That's fine.
All right.
I'll be back next, probably next Thursday, and we'll see you then.
All right, you bet. Hail Victor.
Hail Victor, good night.
Good night. Well, folks, I'm going to need you to go ahead and save this as soon as you can. I'm going to go ahead and you'll soon start the other show, and we'll at 146-188. Until then, hail Victory.